This is CliffCentral.com.
Yo, what's up, this is Brennan Leo, and you are currently tuned in to Urban Culture Drive with your boy, Nisekwa Mapanga, your sexy girl, Candace, and the one and only Craig 06. Sit back and relax, don't worry, you're in good hands. Out.
Urban Culture Drive.
Boy, listen, Candace, Craig 06. Urban Culture Drive.
Sex, murder, puppets. The Happy Time Murders is a crime comedy film featuring the comedic geniuses Melissa McCartney, Maya Rudolph, Elizabeth Banks, and Joel McHale. When the puppet cast of an 80s children's TV show begins to get murdered one by one, a disgraced LAPD detective turned private eye puppet takes on the case. It's an hilarious whodunit that is decidedly No Sesame All Street. The Happy Time Murders release in South Africa cinemas on the 31st of August.
Urban Culture Drive.
Welcome to it, everybody. It's another episode of the Urban Culture Drive, and you're chilling with your faves.
Hey.
How are you, Candy?
I'm good. How are you doing, RJ the Voice?
I'm good, love you.
I've missed you since we don't see each other about three times a week. It's kind of tense.
This week on week thing is
I hate seeing
much.
You only once a week.
It's too much. I hope management is listening.
Management, Greg.
We're throwing bones, management. Anyway, Candy Candace.
Today's
not about us.
It's never about us.
Yeah. We have squad today.
I mean,
like,
guys.
Literally enough.
Guys, literally the family. One is out of town. One is living his best life.
Another one is in
Cape Town.
Stuck in Cape Town.
No. Trust me. That's code for I'm living my best life.
Yeah.
He's not stuck. Mm-hmm. So, Craig, I hope you take a lot of snaps. We're watching your socials. Like everyone. Like your 26,000 other followers. So,
is that?
I think it's about on like 30, but 26 is the average. Like,
okay.
You know, that's the last time I checked.
Clearly is moving up.
I'm telling you. And then our boy, Alice G, is working in corporate.
He's slaving.
He's somewhere, you know, taking orders, giving orders.
Or maybe outside of the country, who knows?
Who knows?
You'll never know what that one.
You never know.
Yeah, man. Today is our wrap, right? The final part three of our series for
Women's Month.
Yeah.
Woo!
We
deserve a tutu or like a round of applause.
A round of applause.
And can I just say something? Mm-hmm. Just because the month is coming to an end does not mean you guys need to stop treating us like we're golden, okay?
But
it continues. Ah!
Candace, we always treat you like you're golden. Like every week without fail, we put you on a pedestal.
Speaking of which,
yeah.
So since this is the month of women doing the most,
mm-hmm.
women are literally doing the most in all, whether it be, you know, positive or negative. I actually read an article of these two women. So it's the friend. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's the woman and her best friend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who murdered her ex-boyfriend's current girlfriend was.
What?
Yeah, her ex-boyfriend's girlfriend at that time. In SA, Joe.
Okay.
They both got about the one got 14, the other one got 18, and they both will serve 5 years each for kidnapping. So they kidnapped this woman and they actually burnt her to death.
Another Karabo situation.
It's crazy.
Let's bring in our guest into this.
Yes.
Before we exclude
her. Guest.
and she will tell us her thoughts. Welcome,
Liz.
How are you?
Thank you. Good to be here.
Are you well?
I'm very well.
You are
fantastic.
All smiles. You look shocked.
You are absolutely stunning. Your smile lights up my life.
Thank you.
Really,
thank
you. It does.
That's
it does.
What Candace is all vibey today.
I know,
energy.
Right?
Une energy e paya.
I'm telling you.
Hey, people are killing each other out here. It's a sad note to start on.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry for the somber, note to start on. But look. These are the realities.
Yeah, but,
I just thought I'd touch on it because it's strange. You know, it's usually the other way around.
They're putting a dent on Women's Month.
Yeah, well, it's honestly an important discussion to have, right?
Yeah.
It's Women's Month. I think it forces us to reflect to say, are we really in a place to be celebrating Women's Month, or should it be a mourning month?
Yeah.
What really is it?
Sure.
Yeah, it's quite tragic, I think.
And this month has been full of a lot of funny other things, but topic for another day. Today we're here because
of
you, honey.
We are not here because of crazy headlines.
Yes, we are here to speak here? Good about women.
Yes,
and
yes.
You're an example of that good in our third series, third part. What's Hua? Third in the series three. Okay, Hua, can this help? The third one in the series. How do you say it?
So let's call it a trilogy.
Part three.
And she is the final part. Yes, she's part three.
Yes, of this entrepreneurship, woman entrepreneurship, young woman entrepreneurship series that we're doing on the show. And we are very getting fortunate and happy to have you on the show, dear.
I'm very happy to be on the show. Thank you for the platform.
Thank you so much for coming.
Let's get right into it, right? For those who don't know you, please formally introduce yourself.
Oh, wow.
Because I did... A snippet of Liz. Give Miss Liz a little, but let her do the honors since she does this for a profession.
Well, basically, my name is Liz Letswalo. I am the founder of Masodi Organic. It's basically an organic beauty care range that takes care of afro hair, takes care of skin. Mm-hmm. I was formerly founded Good Hair, which is one of
the other
business that I founded that I'm unfortunately no longer part of, or fortunately actually, because it's gearing up to go into greater heights.
Yeah.
So I think I'm just starting to find a space in entrepreneurship that is getting a bit more comfortable, a bit more familiar, and I'm really energized by that.
But when you say you're starting to find a space, are you saying you're finding your footing as an entrepreneur or a market?
So let me give some context on that. So basically, I have a full-time job in corporate as a management consultant. So I'm also a global shaper, which is an initiative of the World Economic Forum. So there's a lot of work that I do on that space. But I'm also an entrepreneur. So I think what I mean when I say I'm starting to find a space where I'm comfortable is I used to find it difficult to sort of like introduce myself and say what exactly is my primary platform. But I think I'm starting to realize more than anything that I'm an entrepreneur first, and then I'm
and the rest
things.
Follow.
Yeah, the rest are actually supporting pillars that enable me to do what I'm doing today. So yeah,
but it's the pillow. I get about aim high so that when you fall, you fall here. It's that cushion. The rest is that cushion.
They say
that
reach for the stars
and aim and so. Fall. Somewhere that there.
There's a moon involved somewhere. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Reach for the moon, but when you do fall, at least you'll fall amongst the stars or something like that. No, but there's a song by what's his name, Pitbull, Mr. 305, and he says, "Reach for the stars, because if you do fall, at least you're on top of the world."
Hey!
Buzz. Shout out to Pitbull. We know he's a fan of our show. He's always listening in.
Buzz.
That's for you, that's for you, Mr. 305. Anyway.
So, talking about doing all consultant, global shaper, entrepreneur, that's a lot.
Yep.
That's a lot, especially in this time and age. Where do you even get the time to do all of those things, right? I was listening to a podcast or something, and the guy was speaking about the people use the lack of resources as an excuse for not being able to achieve things.
100%.
But he was saying that it's not actually the lack of resources that is the problem. It's the lack of resourcefulness.
Ah, there we go.
So I'm looking at Liz or hearing Liz speak. You must be a very resourceful person, because management consulting is a time-consuming job. You're literally on the clock all day, every day, right? And there's the Global Shapers Initiative that also kind of stretches you and calls you out at random times. And there's an entrepreneurship element in a startup company.
Where do you find the time?
To be honest with you, I think I would be selfish to take all the credit to myself. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot that goes into having a very strong and decisive support structure. I have amazing sisters who are always very helpful when we're making products. They're always asking, what can we do? Do you need us to help you with delivery? I have fantastic friends who offer different things. One friend who's an entrepreneur will say, come, let's have a chat. What do you need help with in terms of rethinking your business? Mm-hmm. The other one will say, I have a large enough social media presence, and
let's
I can
that.
Just post about your product and it'll, you know. So I think it would be absolutely selfish for me to say it's all me. But I think also there's a bit of a few sleepless nights that I have that go into it.
So I guess that's part of being resourcefulness.
Yes. And also
leveraging,
the team,
right?
Team effort and having that support structure in place, I guess, helps.
Yeah.
It's quite funny you mentioned team and support structure, because almost everybody that is astute or successful, who's been behind the mic with us, has mentioned that having a good team behind them is the product of them being successful.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those things that actually make me go back to my own space and reflect and say, what do I do for others? When a friend comes and say, I'm working on this, am I that friend that actually say, do you need anything to help with?
Yeah.
When a friend has an initiative, do I go out there to support, even if it's not something I'm really interested in?
Yeah.
You know, so it makes one reflect and say, actually, what kind of friend am I? And I think you can never have enough support. Not that it's never enough, but you can never like have too much support.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever anyone can chip, even if it's to say, oh, you know what, I'm on my way to, one friend said, I'm on my way to Zanin. Do you have any deliveries in to make in Polokwane? And I was like, that is so thoughtful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. You have great friends.
I do.
Start there.
And you're touching on the points. Like now, you know, when you put that guy's words, because he also spoke about what kind of value are you adding to people's lives, because that will enrich your resourcefulness.
Yeah.
And now you're speaking evidence that it does work.
Yeah. But I think also trying to find a way to merge the different areas of your life. For example, Global Shapers is very much aligned to what I do at work. It's very much aligned to entrepreneurship as well. What I do at work also, I try not to look at it in isolation, because there's a lot of things that you really learn from corporates.
That
and I think oftentimes we bash corporates and we say, oh, I don't want to do that. It's not a good place to be in. But there's so many things that I think I've learned from corporate that I really appreciate and that I actually see helping me in my entrepreneurial journey. One of the things is actually just being structured as a person and being disciplined. I think the one thing you would be familiar with if you've been in corporate is that oftentimes you don't have a choice or you don't have the luxury to say, I want to do this, I don't want to do this. And I think that's the type of discipline one needs to have when they venture into their own space where they're their own boss. Because it's easy to wake up and say, I'm not going to do it, I'm going to sleep. You know. But I think the one thing that being in corporate helps you is, how can I actually be efficient? And how can I leverage different skills and different people to like get my things done? But at the same time, also, I don't always have the luxury to do the nice things. And I think that's one of the things that we don't think about when we go into entrepreneurship, to say, I'm only going to do the things that are nice. You think it's heaven.
Yeah.
Actually, I sit on weekends and I make product.
Sure.
From your kitchen.
From my kitchen. I stand on my feet. I make products myself, you know.
Shucks.
Sometimes I have to go to suppliers on weekends because obviously during the week I'm working, you know, to get packaging material, to get labels printed. I do all of that myself. And sometimes I have to talk to, you know, a designer, a graphic designer to say, let's try this label. Let's try this logo. You know, you have to do everything. I don't like everything end to end, but I have to do it. So that's the discipline I got from corporate.
Speaking of all those things that you need to do, the entrepreneurship journey, in essence, how has it been like? So this is essentially your second startup, right?
Yep.
So what's the journey been like? Like, and it's different. And it's different because one is a service startup.
Yep.
The other one is a product startup.
Yeah.
So I would assume, as much as it's all business, right, it comes with different challenges.
Yeah.
How has that journey been like for you? And what have been the key challenges from the two that have getting compiled or conglomerated to add on to Liz today?
I think Good Hair was such a fantastic idea, still is a fantastic idea. And I think most of my learnings as an entrepreneur came through Good Hair. I think the fact that I was working with two powerful, strong women in their own right, really smart, also helped. So was three best friends who met in a corporate, started this business, and we had to run it ourselves. It the support system, the energy, the fun element of it, it was such a great learning journey. I think the lessons that I take out of that, I still see it in Masodi today. I say, in Good Hair, we used to think about it like this. This is the one mistake we might have made. This is how I'm going to do it differently. And these are some of the conversations that I hope to keep having with, you know, my Good Hair sisters. Because, again, we just want to keep raising the bar. And I think the one thing I also realize about starting something, I think I've cracked the shell of fear. I started Masodi, it was way easier than it was to start Good Hair. With Good Hair, you know, we had to think about it for a while. And then we just said, guys, let's just do it. And we did it. And it was fantastic. But with Masodi, I think I've been there before. And I'm thinking to myself, nothing new. I've been here before. It happens. I know it's tough. I know what I'm going into.
It's more like that thing of when you fail and you fail and you fail again. It's like, keep it moving.
Yeah.
That type of vibe.
Yeah.
So your entrepreneurship journey in collection or is Khwasa Pala.
As a whole. No, but look, the word is fine. Yeah, as a collective, as a whole.
Yeah, but I had a different word in my
encompassed.
Anyway, yes. No, but it's English. It's fine. I'm not a consultant.
You don't owe anyone.
I'm on radio.
You don't owe anyone.
Me, I'm just a bum on radio. You know? But yeah. So, going back to my question. So, in collection of your history of being, of doing this startup and being an entrepreneur, now being on your second startup thing, company, what is the next step? Because now, the small things you've done, you in a second phase of the entrepreneurship journey. Now you are able to start up businesses. How do you now scale and move on? And have you started, or if not, are you planning to start? Or if you have, what are the challenges in that realm?
Yeah, so I think the next step for me is to make sure that I have the confidence in myself and my business partner, my little sister Sarah, to actually grow a sustainable business. Sustainable in two ways. One, that we can employ other people. But sustainable in a second way, that the business can actually almost run itself. We don't have to be so hands-on. We don't have to be so manual in everything we do. So I think what I've been currently doing is have a couple of discussions with some of my entrepreneur friends that are more established than I am, because I don't have experience in running a very large business. So some of my friends have that kind of experience. So I've been trying to talk to them to get some advice on what have you done. You know, for example, one of the things we're thinking about is, do we want to have an in-house manufacturing for our product? Or do we want to go third party? Which one is easy?
Yeah.
But then again, these are some of the things you really would not know the nitty-gritties of until you've actually been on the ground. There's like the one way you can do it, which is theoretical analysis of what do the numbers look like. I can just do sort of like a comparison on paper.
A simulation.
Exactly. But there's also another way where you actually talk to people who have done it before and say, what are some of the nuances that are easy for me to miss because I don't have experience in this space? So what I'm currently doing is talk to a couple of guys from that perspective. But I think lastly, I'm also trying to see if I can secure some funding to make sure that we expand the business.
Yeah.
Mainly because the demand is shocking. Overwhelming.
Wow.
For a business that's been running
for a couple
of weeks. It's fantastic. And I'm just trying to make sure that we don't drop the ball along the way because we need more capacity.
Uh-huh.
We need, you know, a couple more resources to make sure that we can make products faster and our service remains on top.
On that note, right, most of what you've spoken about is more on the operations side of the business.
Yeah.
So I was watching the movie The Founder.
Ah.
About McDonald's, right? How McDonald's started and whatnot.
Yeah.
And one key thing that I picked up from that, all startup entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs in general are mainly focused on the operations side of things. And they easily lose the legalities of the business. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that is the crux of the business. Business, in essence, is paper. If your paper is okay, if your paper is okay, then the operations will take care of itself. You have an element for that. So for you, in terms of now, because now the pressure is coming on, the orders are coming on, and you can easily get distracted, right? How are you planning to balance that legal side of things? Or have you even thought of it, patenting the product, trademarking the name? You know, what's the process? Educate others about the journey and how important that is.
So the only thing I can share, which really helps me, is I have a file that I call the master file.
Okay.
This master file has everything about my business, from, you know, the product cost to things that I need to do to my orders, everything. So you've got multiple tabs in it. And when you start talking about the legalities of the business, I'm actually thinking of things like the South African Bureau of Standards certification, things like quality tests, things like, you know, the product formulations and so forth. We have all of those things under our to-do list. And then we rank them high priority, low priority, and medium priority, for example. And what really helps, again, is that I have like a bunch of friends in different fields. One of my friends just yesterday was talking to me about this website that you can go on and enroll in courses to do formulations for fragrances.
Okay.
Again, the more conversations you have with different people, the more you actually take from people's journeys and from what people know. And I think, again, the fact that I have this, I'm starting this business with my little sister, whom I probably shouldn't be calling my little sister,
but
my
sister.
Partner.
Yeah.
we you understand. Know, yeah, with my business partner, Sarah, I think it's also helpful because, you know, what I can't do, she can do. Mm-hmm. She has a different type of expertise. So she's currently a student. She's studying environmental sciences. She has her own interest in certain things.
Okay.
So there's things that she's really great at and that I'm probably weaker at. And there's things that I'm really good at and that she needs support on. So we try to find a way to balance our interests and things that we can actually do really well. And that's how we split the work.
So a challenge, right?
Yeah.
In terms of thought, so I was watching another thing, the Billions.
Yes, you've been.
So Billions, the guy, the wife wants to expand her business, right? She has a drip business.
Okay.
Drip guys. Another thing to resuscitate people after a long day of partying and then they must go to work. Mm-hmm. So now she wants to...
The IV drips. With the vitamin B shots in there. Yeah, that one.
So she does that, right? She wants to scale it because now a bigger company wants to take the idea. So now the guy's like, you're not ready. Mm-hmm. But the wife doesn't want to listen. Mm-hmm. Right? And he mentions, I think it was 3 points. He said the reason you're not ready is because firstly, you don't have a novel idea. What you start in the business that you have is nothing new under the sun. It's something that you took from someone else and implemented.
Okay.
There's no patentable thing, novelty about what you're doing. That's the second thing, right? And the third thing I forgot, but generally he was talking about what you're doing is you are using, it's like a producer. You are taking apples and lemons and things and creating a cocktail. You get what I'm saying? And that becomes difficult to scale and grow the business. So from your side, maybe points to think about when in terms of scaling the thing, the company and the product, especially in terms of formulation. Because I'm thinking now, there's another lady who was on the show who was doing organic products, but body products. I told you about that. So that's one thing that got me thinking, because a lot of people now are going that route.
Yeah.
So what makes you stand out, aside from the packaging, the name and the service delivery? Yeah. You get
so,
what I'm saying?
So to be honest, I'm very honest about the uniqueness or lack of uniqueness in our products.
Yeah.
I think organic products are nothing new to the market. Mm-hmm. And there's no shame in that, you know. The one thing that I take pride in with regards to my products is that, you know, I want my products to be a true reflection or a true representative of the people that it's serving or of the people that are consuming it.
Mm.
I'm very pedantic about the details around the formulation, around the fragrance, around the the packaging and how it looks. Mm. And I want people to actually look at the product and be excited about it.
Relate
and
to
how
it.
I actually gauge people's excitement about whether they like the product and they relate to it and they want to be associated with it is by how they actually post it on social media after they bought it. If I like something and I think it's cool,
oh, yeah, post you're it posting.
And
say, yeah.
And that for me is quite fulfilling. And I think it's a fair measure of whether people take pride in the product and they want to be associated with the product or the brand itself. So for me, I'm basically very clear that I just want to serve a niche market, which is, you know, the woman who wants a damn good product that is representative of who she is, that looks good, that smells good, that is fantastic at taking care of her body and her hair. So that's just what I want to do. I don't think I'm making a product that I'm hoping is used by the entire Africa, because I think there's amazing other products out there, and
for
everyone else. And I think all I want is to know that women and men in this country have a choice. If I go to a shop, if I don't like Masodi Organic, I can go for something else.
Yeah.
If I don't like something else, I can go for Masodi Organic. And the reason why that's important is we're only recently starting to be spoiled for choice in terms of product, especially in the Afro hair case.
Yes.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you would go, if brand X is not there, then done, go home, come back next week and check if it's there.
Yes.
What I want is to know that my people are taken care of.
Yay.
And they have quality.
On that note, that's what makes you stand out.
Wow.
That's what makes you stand out. Liz, I want to thank you for your time, short as it was. It's tough here on Urban Culture Drive. It's very tough. I'm trying to give as much of piece of the pie to as much of people that I can.
And that's great.
Yeah, so thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. You are so lovely.
Your listeners have definitely... Or our listeners, now your listeners, have definitely gotten some insight and definite value from you. Looking forward to seeing you grow. We will have you back once, you know, there's other steps taken. But best of luck and best of wishes, man.
Thank you so much, and thanks for the support and for the platform.
Not a problem, love
you.
Away.
This is CliffCentral.com.